Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Regular season in the books with a deeply uninspiring loss, but you know what? Game didn't really matter, so let's turn the page to the playoffs. We'll start talking about that after we wrap up this final regular season game on this edition of Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into this final regular season wrap-up edition of Locked On Grizzlies for this Thursday. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you here. And I am recording this a couple hours maybe, after the Grizzlies finally ended the regular season with a pretty tepid loss to the Mavericks. Mavericks, frankly, didn't want to win the game. It did them a little harm in the ping pong ball status. But ultimately, Grizzlies just kind of stopped trying about halfway through the second quarter, and even the Mavericks couldn't lose this one. 193 was the final. And we'll talk a little bit about this game, mostly in the context of the two things, really. One, the injury to Tony Allen. Two, the performance of the young players. Everything else surrounding the game really isn't all that important. So we'll talk about those two things. Then we'll start to turn the page towards the Spurs series. I'm expected to maybe be able to give you a bonus pod or a change. I don't know. We're still working on the schedule, but I am going to be bringing on my fellow Locked On host, Jeff Garcia, over on Locked On Spurs, and we are going to break down this series for you in the next couple of days. We'll get the schedule worked out and let you know, but there may be some pods coming, you know, possibly even over the weekend, if that's the way that it has to happen, because look, man, it's the playoffs. Finally, we actually have the playoffs, and we know when the Grizzlies are going to start playoff action. And I'll go ahead and tell you, in case you have not already heard, the Grizzlies will start 7 o'clock at the primetime game on ESPN on Saturday nights. Grizzlies and Spurs, a little surprised by that. Expected the game to be the Sunday TNT game, but a primetime spot for the Grizzlies and the Spurs, and a little bit early. Earlier than expected. So I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but it is certainly not what we expected. But the Grizzlies go into the game having only won 3 of their final 12 games and 9-15 since the All-Star break. Didn't really finish the season on anything resembling a strong note, and this game was kind of indicative of that because the lineups were necessarily messed up, especially when Tony Allen left the game. Tony Allen was kind of kicked, looked like, in the back of his right leg. He was kind of clutching his calf as he walked off the court, and he went immediately back to the locker room and was given medical attention, didn't return to the game. I don't think that the fact that he didn't return, I don't think you can read too much into that, because this was a game that didn't matter. Even if the injury was incredibly minor, or even non-existent, he probably wouldn't have returned to this game no matter what, just because of the nature of the game itself just didn't matter. So you would always err on the side of being cautious. Talking with David Fizdale after the game, some of the players, no one seemed to be especially concerned about the injury, which is good news because it would have been a ridiculous, Grizzly-esque way to lose a critical player at a critical time. That's, you know, just kind of how it goes. You know, Mike Conley, by the way, suffered a little bit of a cut on his cheek. If you see him after the game, you can kind of see, it's like he's got, like, the dude cannot go into the postseason without having all kinds of cuts and bruises and bumps and looking like he's been in a UFC fight. You know, he had the cut over the eye that was, you know, crazy. Now he's got the cheek cut on top of everything else. It just doesn't matter. Even when the guy is healthy, he doesn't look healthy. That's I guess that's just the fate of Mike Conley in the postseason. That's always the way it's going to be. He's going to have to look like he's been beaten up before he can go out there and play. So I think, barring something unexpected, I would say good news on the Tony Allen injury front. Probably not as good a news for those of you that are looking to enjoy the young players for the Grizzlies, because in the stretch of time that they played, it was rough. And I asked David Fizdale after the game about the young players, and he said, I was like, do you have anything that you can take from it, anything positive, anything that you liked? And his quote was, not really, they stunk. Okay. He's not wrong, by the way. They pretty much did stink. And that led to the discussion on Twitter, and you guys had some great responses, because I was really looking for the four guys that were out there. Troy Daniels was out there as well, but I think Troy Daniels has already kind of proven what his role is in the NBA, so I don't really consider him a young player per se. But in talking about Wade Baldwin, Jarrell Martin, Andrew Harrison, Deontay Davis, those four guys, I asked the question, how many of them will actually turn into players in the NBA, like rotation players, not necessarily starters even, but just guys that you can go to, you can count on to be part of a team, part of a top eight on a roster, something like that. And the answers were a little bit varied, but I would say that for the most part, people thought most highly of Deontay Davis. The reaction of everybody, most everyone, was that Deontay Davis was going to be the best of the bunch. Everyone was a little more mixed on Wade Baldwin. I certainly don't think people should give up on Wade Baldwin. Yeah, there's some that some people that are. And I would agree the game looks still way too fast for Baldwin. But he showed some decent signs out there in the game against the Mavs. And I think, you know, he's shown some flashes since returning from Iowa. He's a long, long, long way from anything resembling a backup point guard at this point. But you didn't draft Wade Baldwin to be a one-year guy. He had a long arc. He was very young, pretty raw. You drafted him knowing that it was going to be a little while before you would see whatever the benefit was going to be from him, so you have to be patient. You know, you can't compare him to a more finished product, a more, even a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. And you can't really, it's not fair to make that comparison just because Baldwin is so much more raw, and he needs to be kind of thought of that way. I think if you expected him to be an impact guy this year after the first, few weeks, it was kind of obvious that was a little too much. That was not going to happen. But long term, I think you can still be reasonably optimistic about, in 3 years' time, is he going to be any good? I mean, I think he's still got every opportunity for that to be the case. Jarrell Martin, I'm sorry, I'm out. I'm just out on Jarrell Martin right now. I've said it before. I said at the trade deadline, I really felt like the Grizzlies should go ahead and just, do whatever needed to be done. And I think most of you were kind of in agreement on that, based on the reaction to my tweet. Many of you, almost all of you really, said that you were very pessimistic about Jarrell Martin's future. There were a few positives, but mostly people that just don't see it. And I'm with you. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I don't see what he does. I don't see what his role is. I don't see what his position is long term. He's still very much a tweener. And it's hard to be a tweener these days in the NBA. You know, that's normally considered a good thing, but in his case, I think it's a little bit of a bad thing. I don't think he can defend the three. I don't think he can defend the four. I don't think he can really shoot to the level that you need to for a guy that's going to play either of those positions. His athleticism can only take him so far. Basketball IQ is still pretty low, looks lost out there. And this is a guy now that will be going into his third year. You're going to have to make a decision on. That's why, you know, I don't know if there was a market for him, but, you know, if you think that there was, or if you think that anyone would kind of be interested, I think it's time to it's time to go ahead and sell on Jarrell. And then finally, Andrew Harrison. I think Harrison's already kind of shown that he can play a stabilizing role. I mean, he's been pretty good defensively. Grizzlies' numbers have been pretty good with him in the mix. He's been one of their best net rating guys in spite of his inability to shoot the basketball. So I think he's already proven that he's a third point guard now. You know, can he develop to the point where he's a solid backup? I think that's probably reasonable to think that he might be able to. I mean, he's sort of the backup. You know, he's been the backup for most of the year for the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies are a playoff team. They're not a spectacular team, but they're a playoff team. So he may have already passed that threshold. But if not, I think he's got a reasonable chance to do it. The young guys, though, are it's a little alarming that they're as far away as they are, and that there's still such a gap, and still such a you have to kind of hope, and you have to sort of fill in that hope in your head about whether these guys are going to be really good or not. You don't have a lot of track record to go on. That's sad. You don't have a lot of faith in the development process. Understandably so. That's a sad thing about this. And I think the last two games where we've seen the young players play big chunks together has kind of indicated that, has kind of shown you where you're at on that whole situation. And it's been a tricky one for the Grizzlies. I'll tell you what else isn't tricky. Finding tickets. It's super easy to do. SeatGeek can help you with that. And SeatGeek makes it so, so simple. Here's what you do. Okay. You download the SeatGeek app for your Android device or your iPhone, iPad, whatever. Download the SeatGeek app. Right there, you're good to go. Because you'll look and see whenever you're searching for an event ticket or a game ticket, you're getting playoff tickets. Look, it's super easy. Search for the event. You'll see the seating chart, and you'll see little circles with varying colors. That's the proprietary SeatGeek method. Searching across all of the ticket sites, so you don't have to, because there are lots of them, and it takes a long time to search and verify and search. They do it across the board, so you know exactly what the market looks like, and whether that seat is a good deal or not. You'll be able to see if it's available, how you get it, is it a good deal or not, because you'll see the color, green, yellow, red, makes it really easy. You see that green button, boom, click it, you know you're going to get a great deal guaranteed. It's so easy. And if you use the promo code LOGrizzlies, go to the SeatGeek app, click on the settings tab, add the promo code section, you'll see LOGrizzlies. You'll save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That is a little gift just for our listeners here on the podcast. Again, click on the settings tab, go to promo code, type in LOGrizzlies, get $20 back from your first SeatGeek purchase. That helps the pod, it helps you, it helps them, it helps everyone. SeatGeek, they are awesome. Check them out. Now, as we mentioned, of course, the Grizzlies will play the Spurs starting on Saturday night on ESPN and also locally on Fox Sports Southeast. So you can watch Pete and Brevin and Fish and the crew doing their thing on the broadcast. If you don't want to watch on the ESPN side, I certainly could understand that decision. The Spurs come into this matchup also not playing necessarily their best. They're still a 61-win team. They are still the favorites in the series, without a doubt. But they lose to the Utah Jazz on Wednesday night as well. And they did so with a rotation that was, I wouldn't say it's exactly a playoff rotation, but it's pretty close. It's closer than the Grizzlies rolled out there, that's for sure, with LaMarcus Aldridge playing 34 minutes, Kawhi playing 31 minutes in that game. Tony Parker playing his normal 24 minutes, Pau Gasol playing 23, Patty Mills playing 19, Danny Green playing 20. I mean, this is kind of how it's going to be. And they played a good team on the road, so understandable that that you would lose that game. But nonetheless, you know, I don't think that they're playing spectacular basketball either going into this series. Both teams have been pretty clear about, you know, where they would stand in this series. Both teams kind of knew, have known for a while that they were going to play each other. Even before it was really clinched, you could just kind of see the way the season was unfolding, that it looked more and more obvious, probably as soon as 3 weeks ago, a month ago, that this was the way that it was kind of going to end up. So I think you saw both teams not showing their hand, particularly in the matchups with each other. You saw some caginess. And the Grizzlies, I know, have rolled out some lineups that have been, you know, pretty experimental, let's say, throughout this. And the Spurs have done the same thing, even if they haven't necessarily rested their guys. There have been a few games of late where they've only played them 10, 15 minutes, hadn't played them in the second half, a little bit like the Grizzlies have done in the last few games with their starters. By the way, the Grizzlies starting five, that five-man unit of Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Vince Carter, Jermichael Green, Marc Gasol, is one of the best five-man units in the NBA since March 1st, even if the rest of the Grizzlies have been bad. The Grizzlies as a team have a net rating of minus 4.2 in that time, but those starters are plus 17.8, which is the third best lineup in the NBA among those that have played 75 minutes. So it tells you how good the starters have been, but they just haven't played that much. And the rest of the time, the other lineups the Grizzlies have rolled out almost entirely have been bad, have been negatives, just for one reason or another, which tells you that there's an awful lot of pressure on Mike and Mark. There's an awful lot of pressure on the starters to really carry the load. And then other folks on the bench are going to have to step up and perform. And one of those guys that's going to have to perform well is Brandon Wright. And I had a chance to talk to Brandon Wright after the game on Wednesday and the regular season wrapped up about what he thought about the Grizzlies. And I started off by asking him kind of where he felt the Grizzlies were as a team going into the postseason.
I would say there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, we had some funky lineups, had some guys in and out, but we haven't played great basketball. But we do have a veteran group, and hopefully we can put it together for the playoffs. You know, if we don't, you know they'll take advantage of us real quick.
As somebody who's played, you've played, you know, for Dallas and mm-hmm. here against Spurs a million times.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's their discipline. Yes. They push you defensively. Are you guys connected on defense? Do you feel like things are good defensively where you need to be?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've been pretty steady all year defensively. You know, we had a little low. We had that five-man losing streak. We gave up over 100 those games. But for the most part, we've been solid. You know, biggest thing is offense. You know, we get real stagnant every now and then. But, you know, we got to keep moving the ball, you know, keep finding ways to score. You know, it's going to be a low-possession series. You know, 2 years ago we played the Spurs and they won the championship, seven games. You know, games one through six were – could have went either way, and then they, you know, we got a little sloppy in game seven and blew our doors off. So that's the type of series it's going to be. You know, you got to be locked in the entire time.
How do you personally see your role in this Spurs series?
Oh, just got to play the minutes I'm given. You know, it's like you said, it's been kind of crazy with the lineups. Mm-hmm. You know, guys been in and out. You know, I play anywhere from 8 to 30 minutes. So whatever happens, I got to be ready for it. Just happy to be back out there.
Do you feel the shift, the change mentality-wise, you know, when you and you guys do that? Does it just kind of flip, like a switch flip, or how does that?
It has to be. You know, it can't be, you know, what it was the last two games or what it's been the last 2 months. We got to be better. I mean, it's obvious. There's no sugarcoating, no getting around it. We got to be a much better team than we were. You know, if we play at the level we've been playing at the last couple months, we won't be in the playoffs long. So we know we got to, you know, elevate our level. Tough place to play, but, you know, we're up for the challenge.
I appreciated Brandon's candor in discussing the current state of the Grizzlies. And he really was, you know, a little concerned about the way things would go and about, you know, whether they would be able to kind of flip that switch. He's confident that they can raise their level, but he also acknowledged that, you know, there's a little uncertainty there. And I think that's fair. I think probably a lot of you that are listening are in that same boat, where you kind of say, you know, they there's some good things, there's some positive things, but there's some legitimate questions about how this thing is going to unfold. And I think that's certainly fair. So we'll start this thing off on Saturday. Have some more on the pod tomorrow. By the way, I can go ahead and give you the full schedule as I'm recording this. It's just come out. So the schedule will be, of course, Saturday. Grizzlies will be in San Antonio, 7 o'clock tip-off. Then game two will be Monday, the late game on TNT at 8:30. Then for those of you that want to know, and I think you will, game three, the first game in Memphis, will be Thursday. So 1 week from today, 8:30 tip-off as well. Game four will be Saturday night, another ESPN, 7 o'clock tip-off. Then game five will be Tuesday in San Antonio, April 25th. If you need a game six, then it will be Thursday, April 27th, back in Memphis. And then the potential game seven would be in 2 weeks on Saturday, April 29th. That would be the schedule coming up. So that's it's a little bit more compressed than I remember it being, which is good. I'm glad to see that. That's the norm. Normally, it's a little more spread out than that. So I like the fact that it's going to be pretty quick. Last year, I believe it was similar. It was like Sunday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday kind of thing. So this is similar to that: Saturday, Monday, Thursday, Saturday. But I like the schedule, and I'm a little surprised again that it's coming as quickly as it is on Saturday. But hey, I'll take it, and let's get after it. So playoff pod coming tomorrow. In the meantime, everybody have yourself a great Thursday. I hope you enjoy this edition of Locked On Grizzlies.